That's how it goes. There we go. We can put it back together. I kind of feel like tonight using this mic here with a rope on it, that kind of like the guy was doing a revival, and it was back before lapel mics and those things you put on your ears and all that. And the preacher, you know, he needed a microphone, and so he had this microphone, and the little boy said in the back, said, "Man, if he ever gets off his leash, we're all in trouble." So I've got my leash on tonight, and we may all be in trouble anyway. In a little bit, you can turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 18 is where we're going to be taking our text from tonight. But we're going to talk about a subject tonight that is really, really important. And dealing with relationships, I believe this is one of the most vital and important messages. Last week, I wanted to share that message so much that last week while you was finishing up here, I was beginning to preach that message up in Sheboygan, because breaking free is huge. We need to be able to break free and get rid of all the parasites. How many has enjoyed the pictures of the worms? All those wonderful little parasites that invade our bodies. Not very pleasant, is it? But I hope that this week that you've dealt with some of the parasites that are in your life, and that God has helped you break free from some of the bondages that has overshadowed you. But tonight I want to talk to you about the area of forgiveness. Great relationships are forged with love and forgiveness. And by the way, I want to say great relationships are forged with love and forgiveness. You know, in the movie, the guy said, "Oh, love's all you ever need," and talking about that warm, fuzzy feeling. But I'm telling you, in any relationship, whether you're married or not married, love is important, but forgiveness has got to be part of that. For any of you that's been married, can you say amen to that? Can you look at your wife and say, "Okay, I understand. I mean, your husband, however it may go," and say, "I understand that love and forgiveness," because forgiveness is so huge. And you know something about forgiveness? Forgiveness is something you don't do when everything's going well. Forgiveness is not something that you do when somebody just showed you love and grace. Forgiveness is something you've got to do when you've been hurt. How many of us have you ever been hurt before? Then you had to forgive someone who hurt you. Forgiveness is not an easy thing, because it deals in the realm of being hurt. And none of us likes to be hurt, and none of us likes to open ourselves up to be hurt again. Watch the clip of what took place in the movie.
Here. You think you can take this?
Why are you doing this?
I have learned you never leave your partner. Especially in a fire.
Caleb, what's happened to you?
Dad asked me if there was anything in me that wanted to save our marriage. And then he gave me something. I could let you read it.
Was it this?
How long have you known?
I found it yesterday. So what day are you on?
43.
There's only 40.
Who says I have to stop?
Caleb, I don't know how to process this. This is not normal for you.
Welcome to the new normal.
You didn't want to do this at first, did you?
No. But halfway through, I realized that I did not understand what love was. And once I understood that, I wanted to do it.
Caleb, I want to believe that this is real. But I'm not ready to say that I trust you again.
I understand that. But whether you ever reach that point or not, I need you to understand something. I am sorry. I have been so selfish. For the past 7 years, I have trampled on you with my words and with my actions. I have loved other things when I should have loved you. In the last few weeks, God has given me a love for you that I have never had before. And I have asked him to forgive me. And I am hoping, I am praying that somehow you would be able to forgive me too. Catherine, I do not want to live the rest of my life without you.
Caleb, I'm supposed to give those divorce papers to my lawyer next week. I need some time to think.
You can have all the time you need.
That is a great, great scene where he's begging for forgiveness. And it's just a beautiful how God used that and how God uses us when we're willing to go to that area of asking somebody to forgive us. I don't know if you've ever been there before. I'm sure that you have. But to be able to ask somebody and be sincere and real when you're doing it. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 18, and would you stand today as we read God's word together? Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 21. This is what the word of God says. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how many times should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Now, I want you to bring this in context of the passage of Scripture where we were just at. And before that was where we get the area of church discipline and about restoring a brother who's went astray or a brother who's offended us or has been caught up in sin. And Jesus talked to him about how to redeem that brother and how to get him back in previous verses before that. And now he says, in verse 22, I tell you, not as many as seven, Jesus said to him, but 70 times seven. Do the math on that one. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began to settle accounts, one owed 10,000 talents was brought before him. Since he had no way to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. And at this, the slave fell face down before him and said, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything." Then the master of the slave had compassion, released him, and forgave him the loan. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him, started choking him, and said, "Pay me what you owe." At this, his fellow slave fell down and began to beg, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he wasn't willing. On the contrary, he went and threw him into prison until he could pay what was owed. When the other slaves saw that what had taken place, they were deeply distressed and went and reported to their master everything that had happened. Listen to this. Then, after he had summoned him, his master said to him, "You wicked slave, I gave you all the debt. I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have mercy on your fellow slave, as I had mercy on you?" And his master got angry and handed him over to the jailers until he could pay everything that was owed. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. There's a key right there, from his heart. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for this time we can gather here in this room. And Lord, we gather tonight to say we love you. And Lord, I gather tonight and I just want to say thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for forgiving me of an enormous debt. Oh God, there's no way I could have paid you back. Can't even come close to it. But Lord, I thank you that you forgave me and that you wiped my slate clean. And Lord, I pray that we would do that with each other as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Get me seated tonight. As we look at this passage of Scripture here, I just want to make some 10 observations. They're also in your outline. And so you have those with me, and you can follow along as you go along here. First of all, Peter wants to know how high to count. And Jesus doesn't like it when you're keeping score. Jesus doesn't like it when we keep score. You know, he was wanting to know, how high should I count? Lord, you know, if my brother comes and he sins against me and I go to him and I forgive him, and you know, he asks and I forgive him, how many times should I do that? Seven times, and that's enough. If somebody keeps doing you over and does it seven times, don't you have enough too? Huh? I mean, after over and over again, seven times, he said, Lord, should I just forgive him seven times? Seven times ought to be enough, Peter thought. But God doesn't like it when we're keeping score. When we're keeping score, oh, there's one on my... And by the way, in your marriage relationship, you don't need to keep score either. You don't need to keep score in your marriage relationships. Well, you know, he's done that to me this many times now, and I've forgiven him each time. Oh, really? Have you? And so don't keep score. Let it go. Let it go, and that's where it comes into the second one, and I love this word here, macrothuma. Macrothuma. Macro is large. You know, micro, macro. Macro means large. And then if you, thuma is where we get our word thermos from, or thermostat. And so if you combine those two words together, is to set aside your anger. Forgiveness means to set aside. And when God forgives us of our sin, and I've illustrated this many times with KJ, and I'd bring KJ up, and I've already done that here before. I'd make him stand up here and hold something real heavy. Then I'd put something heavier and heavier, and then I'd say, "KJ, forgive me," or he'd say, "Dad, forgive me," or whatever. And I would take the weight and I would lay it aside. I would move it off of him so that he wouldn't be carrying that weight anymore. And macrothuma literally means to have it cast aside, to set aside your anger. Boy, sometimes we just want to be mad, don't we? Have you ever had something in your marriage or relationship and you knew that they'd ask for forgiveness, and but you just was still wanting to hold that anger on the inside? You wanted to hold it. You wanted to keep on churning it because you wanted to hold on to it just a little bit longer. Is that anybody else in here? Well, another way of macrothuma is take the big chill. Take the big chill. Move it off the side. A talent equals 15 years' wages. That's a pretty good chunk of change. 15 years' worth of wages. And this slave owed... he one talent. No, he didn't have just one talent. And then the other was a denarii. And a denarii was one day's wage. And so look at the scripture here. Look at the scripture and you'll find the servant owed an outrageous amount to the owner. As a matter of fact, he owed, it says here that he owed 10,000 talents. So if you take 10,000 times that by 15 years, you have 150,000 years worth of wages. Kind of sounds like our country right now, doesn't it? But anyway, I just kind of pass them through there. But 150,000 years worth of wages. Now how in the world is this guy going to pay that back? How in the world, when he falls down before the king and says, "Please forgive me, I'll pay it all to you. I'll pay it all to you." This guy evidently had been a swindler. This guy had evidently been an embezzler of the king. There's no way that a king would loan him 150,000 years worth of wages. Would you? I mean, Jesus exaggerates this, and he makes it so far out there that Peter catches it. He makes it so far out there that we should catch it too. When God forgives us, he forgives us of a debt that there's no way possible we could ever pay. There's no way that you could pay for all the sin that you've committed against God. Absolutely impossible for you to pay it back. You know what I hear so many times when I'm sharing with people and talk to them about heaven? They'll say, "Well, I just got to be a good person." Oh, really? So you think that you can pay back all the bad that you've done with the good? And that's what I hear so much. "Well, you know, I just got to do more good things than bad things, and then I'll get to heaven." No, you can't pay for your bad things. There's no way possible you could ever pay for all the bad things that you've ever done. And Jesus makes that very clear here in this passage of Scripture. And so the king is willing to forgive an inconceivable large amount of money. When they start talking about our national debt in our country and the billions of the bailout and all the things that are going on right now, I want to tell you what, it's hard to conceive, isn't it, of the amounts of money that they're talking about. And I want you to know, 150,000 years worth of wages is an inconceivable amount of money. And the king said, "I forgive you. I forgive you. I'm writing that's taken care of." And so, and the roof may come off any moment now. The king is willing to forgive an inconceivable large amount. But the king's angry, and not about the amount that he forgave. The king was angry about the attitude of the slave. Because here it was, I forgave you 150,000 years worth of wages, and you won't forgive your brother who owes you 100 days worth of wages. The greed factor. I'm not willing to forgive. How we treat others matters to God more than how we treat Him. And I thought about that statement, and I've chewed on that statement a lot. How we treat others means more to God than how we treat Him. Because I promise you, folks, He tells us in 1 John, if we can't love our brother whom we have seen, how are we going to love him whom we have not seen? And we can't have a forgiving heart towards our brother and our sister who have wronged us. It shows a lot of our attitude about God's forgiveness in our life. It shows us a lot about our relationship with God. And I know you're saying, well, you don't know what they've done to me. You don't know how many times they've done it to me. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, okay? We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Those who have been forgiven must forgive. Have you been forgiven in here tonight? Have you been forgiven? Then you need to be forgiving to others. So why should I forgive? That's a good question. Why should you forgive? Wouldn't you like to know why you should forgive? First of all, Satan. You say, well, what in the world does he have anything to do with it? Well, let me tell you. If you don't forgive your brother or your sister, you're going to remember that. And Satan will have a heyday in your life. Satan will come and he will eat your lunch over the lack of your forgiveness. You let Satan have a stronghold, a foothold in your life. And I want to tell you what, when Satan gets a foothold in your life, well, here's what happens. When Satan gets that foothold in your life, it's like taking a log chain and begin by draping it around your foot. And once he gets that foothold, once he gets that chain across your foot, then he begins to circle it up until he's got your whole life bound up there. It all began with a foothold, and that foothold very well could have been an unforgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit where you're saying, no, I'm not going to forgive them anymore. I've had enough. Don't give Satan that foothold in your life. Second reason is me. I want to have peace. I want to have peace in my life. How many of you want to have peace in your life? And when I have unforgiveness, I promise you I don't have peace. I learned that really early in life. My sister and I fussed all the time. Okay, we argued. I know that's hard for you to believe, but we argued. She's 3 years older than me and mean, and she was my sister. And I'm telling you, she used to drive me nuts eating cereal. And I drove her nuts. And it wasn't nutty cereal. And here's what would happen at the breakfast table. And I hate it. We caught the bus way too early. We caught the bus every morning at 6:45. And so we'd sit there and eat our cereal before we had to run down to the bus stop. It was down the hill, and it seemed like a mile and a half, but it was only about half a quarter down the hill to catch the bus. But we sat there and eating cereal one morning, and we got into a row. And she had her, we set, most of the time, we'd set the cereal box between us so we wouldn't have to look at each other. Have you ever been there and done that? And we got to fussing that day, and she said, don't speak to me no more. I said, you got it, sis. Not exactly like that. And so the next, I mean, that was on, I don't know what day, morning it was, but it was in the morning. And we went all that day, got home, and went and done our feeding. We fed calves together, and I didn't speak to her because she told me not to speak to her. And I didn't. And I want you to know, the next morning we got up and we set our cereal box between us and we didn't talk. And this went on till Saturday. And on Saturday, she couldn't take it no more. I was enjoying the silence. But anyway, but she couldn't take it no more. Just kidding, okay? She's probably going to watch this blog, and then I'm going to be in trouble again. And but, you know, on Saturday morning, after we had done our feeding, and we'd been down to the barn and done our chores, we'd fed the calves and done all the other stuff, I got back up to the house and had my hamburger. That's a daily occurrence at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's hamburger time. That's when they called me Wimpy. But anyway, I got done eating my hamburger, and Kathy was in her room. She had the best room, too, by the way. I'm not bitter about it. But anyway, she was in her room. She said, "Come here." I said, "You talking to me? Come here, please." And we went into her room, and she hugged me and kissed me and said, "Please forgive me." And then I'm a big crybaby, too. And I said, "Please forgive me, too. Please forgive me, because I miss talking to you. Even though we argue over cereal, I miss talking to you. I want to, you know, there was a load lifted off of me when we forgave each other." And folks, that may be a silly little kid illustration of that, but I promise you, when you forgive somebody, it will set you free. As a matter of fact, I was coming out of a hospital one day talking with a psychologist, and the doctor had been in seeing some of his patients. He said most of my patients could go home tomorrow if they would just forgive and accept forgiveness. Most of my patients, he said, could be set free if they would forgive and be forgiven. Think about that. Well, number three, why should I forgive? You should forgive because you're not perfect. Amen? You should forgive because you need forgiveness. You're not perfect. I know you may think you are, but just ask people around you. They'll let you know. I'm reminded of a story Dr. Redding told in class one day when we was in studying one of the epistles. And he said, I was in this area, and he said that this lady went to a holiness church where everybody get up and talk about how they lived above sin and how that they were perfect. And she said, "My husband gets up and he talks about how he's perfect, and I live with him and I know he's not. I know what he's doing and he's not perfect." She said, "The next time he gets up and talks about living above perfect, I'm going to jump up and slap him." And then she said, "Would I be wrong?" And so a week went by, and this lady comes back and said, "Well, what happened?" And Dr. Redding said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, this guy got up in a testimony service, and he began to talk about how he was living above sin." And she said, "And I sinned. I slapped him right there in front of everybody and said, 'You're a lying hypocrite.'" Folks, the point of it is we all need forgiveness. We're all lying hypocrites. If I could have two lines formed here tonight, on this line over here, you all on the good side, okay, would be the side that would never need forgiveness, that you've never wronged anybody, you've never done it. And on this side, sorry folks, but on this side were those who need to be forgiven because they've wronged people and they've hurt people over the years. Which side would you line up on? Which side of the church would you be on today? Since we have two sections, folks, we all would be on this side. We need to forgive because we need to be forgiven ourselves because we're not perfect. Number four, you need to forgive because Christ forgave you. Because Christ forgave you. You think about that, of all that he has forgiven you of. I've had a lot of people that's forgiven me over the years of a lot of things. But folks, I'm most grateful to my God who's forgiven me of so very much. And sometimes the same thing over and over and over and over, you get the point. He has forgiven me repeatedly. And folks, that's why I should forgive others repeatedly. How do I go about doing it? It's fine and dandy to talk about all this, but how do I go about doing it? Well, here goes. First of all, make a decision to forgive. It's got to be a decision to forgive. It's got to be a choice. And I can illustrate that with something that's very present in my life right now. I have, several years ago, loaned one of my friends $1,000. Actually, it was a little bit more than that. I'll pay you back. And so here I was, and there was times, I'll be honest with you, I thought about it, and he's probably going to listen to this blog too. But I thought about it, and I get angry. There was times I needed that $1,000. Have you ever been there? I needed that $1,000 because that was getting pretty low and pretty scrimping. As you can see, I've not missed too many meals, but nonetheless, I thought I needed that $1,000. And finally, I had to get, and one time, it was a particular tight time, and I thought about going and asking him, and I didn't do it. My wife and I talked about it, and I had to come to a choice of saying, I forgive him. I am to go ahead and work with this brother, and to go ahead and to be able to be a mentor and to be a leader in his life. I had to make a choice. I had to make a willful choice to forgive him of the debt that he owed me. And I want to tell you something else. I had to do it repeatedly. And that's where we're going to get to here in a little bit as well. I had to say, no. I forgave him of that debt. I forgive him. Sometimes we need to say the words. When there's dealing with that person out there that we're struggling to forgive, and because of what they did, we need to say the words. And sometimes just maybe saying them to ourselves. I forgive you. I forgive you. And sometimes we don't need to make it public and go to them. Now, if your brother sinned against you and if you've sinned against your brother and you find that you have a coming to the altar to bring your gift, the Bible says go leave the altar and go reconcile to your brother, then come give your gift. But there's some things that we need to forgive people of that we necessarily don't need to go say, I forgive you. When you forgive. That's pretty simple, isn't it? When you forgive. It's so easy sometimes to have that, lay that weight aside off of someone and then pin it back on there. There were times when my brother that owed me the money, I would see him and I'd get mad. Sorry, I'm just being truthful with you, that it would upset me. And I'd have to forgive him all over again in my own heart, in my own life. And folks, there's some things within your spouses and other relationships that you've forgiven, but then you pick it back up again and you need to let it go again. You need to have that macrothuma again. Take the big chill. Forgive. Forgive completely. When you forgive completely. God doesn't do that to us when he says, well, you know, I forgive him, but I'm not going to have anything else to do with him. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that? I forgive him, but I'm not going to have anything else to do with him. Or I forgive him. The Bible says he cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. God knew his directions. He knew he couldn't use north and south and it be forever and ever. But folks, you can start walking east and you'll never stop walking east if you keep on the right path. He says our sins has been forgiven and they've been cast as far as the east is from the west. And you and I today, when we forgive, we need to forgive completely. And we need to forgive repeatedly. Kind of like peeling an onion. How many of us ever peel an onion? I dried some this week on our dryer at home. And as I was peeling that onion, Cindy came in and I was crying. She said, oh, honey, you don't have to cry, and patted me on the back. But then I want you to know, I peeled that onion. And the more that I cut, and the more layers came out. And they're pretty good dried, by the way. And a little salt on them. They're real good. But anyway, neither here nor there, and making you hungry tonight. But after I got those onions, they came out in layers. And sometimes, repeatedly, you have to pull off that first layer. And then you get to that second layer, and then you have to do it again, and it makes you cry every time, doesn't it? You pull the second layer off, and the third layer, and the third layer, and before long, there's no layers left. And that's when complete forgiveness is really taking place. I get back to the story about my buddy. That's been many, many years ago, and I've not mentioned it to him ever. Ever have I mentioned that you owe me $1,000. And because I had forgiven him, I had to do it repeatedly. I had to keep peeling the onion. He called me. Actually, I called him this week. There's times he doesn't return my call, and that makes me mad. I want you to know, if you call me, I'll call you back. But it might take me a while, but I try to do it within 24 hours or so, and when I possibly can. But I'd recalled him probably for a couple weeks in a row, and repeatedly. That repeated thing again, I called him quite often, and he wasn't returning my calls. And usually when he doesn't return my calls, I know something's up in his life. He doesn't want to talk to me. So that makes me more persistent than ever. I call. So I called him. Finally, he answered the phone this week. Hey, brother, been intending to call you back. And I said, don't lie to me. If you'd been intending to call me back, you would have. There's some people I can talk open and honest to, and he is one of them. And he said, well, I've been thinking. I said, it's good for the head. I ought to do it a little more often. And, okay, he's my friend. I can do that. And he said, well, Melody and I were talking. And I want to give you our kitchen table. Because we bought it, and it would fit great in your house. And it would just be a perfect fit. And the money that I owed you for all these years has bothered me. It has bothered me greatly, all these years of the money that we owed you. And I said, Bobby, I've not mentioned. He said, yeah, I know that. But would you take my kitchen table and chairs? And so we talked about that for a little bit. But here's what I want to do. I'm going to be down there on an evangelistic deer hunt. We're not trying to evangelize deer. We're trying to evangelize people, okay? We're trying to shoot deer and hunt. But we're trying to reach people with the gospel. We're going to be down in that area. He said, when are you coming home? I said, well, I am home. He said, no, when are you coming back down here? I said, well, I'll be down here on the 7th. And I was going to take his table and chairs. I just want you to know, I was going to take him. And my wife, she's not in here tonight. She'll be glad to know this. Because she said, I don't want their table and chairs. You forgave him. If they're our table and chairs now, we can do what we want with them, can't we? I said, yeah, we're going to bring them home, put them in our house. She said, no, I think we ought to give them right back to them. And folks, I haven't told Bobby this, and you're the first to know, including my family. And I want you to know, my wife and I have had a serious discussion about that this week. Some people call it arguing. But and so when we go to pick up the table and chairs, I'm going to pick up the bench and I'm going to set it back down and said, I forgave you. That means the weight has been gone. This table and chairs belongs to you. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you because I forgave you. And that's the true meaning of what God's forgiveness is all about, is true forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting, okay? There's some people who say, I just can't forgive. I know that they've done this to me, and I just can't forget what they've done. Unless you have dementia, you're probably not going to forget. You're probably not going to forget what the other person who's wrong you've done. Within the human mind, we have a memory log. And the thing that they hurt us with, the thing that they come against us with, it hurt. Correct? It hurt. And you're not going to forget. Now, I promise you, over the years, I have, after I peeled that onion, and it affected my eyes, evidently, because over the years, I hadn't thought about that $1,000 in years. in years, and it's perfect timing for this week's message. And I haven't thought about it in a long time. And I'm grateful of that. But I hadn't totally forgotten. He didn't have to remind me when he mentioned it in our phone conversation this week. I had not totally forgotten it. You see, forgiving is not forgetting. God has the capacity to do that. He casts them into the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is the west. We're not that way. Forgiving doesn't mean we're going to trust them. When you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean that necessarily you're going to trust them. When a wife has been abused repeatedly, and the guy comes back and says, "I'm sorry, I'll never do it again." And she says, "Yeah, that's what you told me for the last 15 times too." Does that mean that you automatically go back and trust the person that you choose to forgive? No. That means you do not trust them. That means that they have to have a pattern that built up over time for that trust to be built back. Here's a statement, folks, that I thought was so important that I put it on your outline. And I think that you need to grab hold of it. And if you don't hear, remember anything else out of this sermon tonight, I want you to remember this. Forgiveness must be granted. It cannot be earned. Forgiveness is granted. It cannot be earned. You can't earn somebody's forgiveness. And they can't earn you to forgive them. They can't do enough to say, "Okay, I forgive you, done enough." Forgiveness has to be granted. You have to make a choice. You have to make a decision right now. I'm going to forgive that person. I don't like it, but that may be where you're at tonight. But I make a decision tonight to forgive that person. Trust, however, cannot be granted. It must be earned. Trust cannot be granted. It must be earned. And so as I was thinking about that, as I was preparing for this message and going over it and over it again repeatedly, there may be some things in the past relationships, maybe in your marriage, that there's been vows broken, that there's been things that's happened that's severed and caused a problem in the relationship. And you need to say, "How can I forgive him?" It's a choice. Or how can I forgive her? It's a choice. It's got to be granted. It can't be earned. But the trusting has to be earned. If your wife is an alcoholic and she's trying to go straight, she's trying to quit the alcohol, and she stays out 2 or 3 hours past the time that she's supposed to be home, do you assume that she's just hanging out with the gals? No. You assume that she's falling off the wagon and back drinking again. And there has to be there needs to be parameters set up. There needs to be parameters set up. If you're not home, if you're going to be 15 minutes late, you call home, tell what's going on and where you are and who you're with. You say, "Well, that's very demanding." It's called building back trust. Or if a husband's been a womanizer and he's going out on a trip somewhere, there needs to be some accountability that goes along with that trip. It's called earning the trust. Forgiveness is granted, not earned. Trust is earned and not granted. Here we go for the love dare tonight. I want you to take your fist right now. I thought when I was doing this earlier, this is dangerous, people sitting close to each other like this. But I want you to take your fist, and I want you to, that person that you found so hard to forgive, don't punch him, okay? That's not what we're going to do. Grab him and squeeze as tight as you can right now. Squeeze. Okay, here it is. Choose to forgive and let him go. And sometimes you have to do that repeatedly. Choose to let them go. It may be from people that hurt you last year at this time at the orchard. It may be from people who've hurt you 25 or 30 years ago, or 60 or 70 years ago. Let it go. I was sitting there last week in my apartment where I was staying in Sheboygan. And I was saying, God, is there anybody in my life I need to forgive? And there were some people. I had to let them go. I chose to forgive them. I choose to forgive. Because if I don't choose to forgive, Satan will have a toehold in my life. And once you give him a toehold, he doesn't want to stop there. He wants to control your whole life. We're going to sing another song tonight.